Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Come across these stories from time to time about police officers drinking and driving, and I keep telling myself, you know, you've done so many of these, after a while they all start to sound alike. So you can only really do one if somebody actually like pushes the envelope, actually does something noteworthy that makes this story somehow more remarkable than the previous stories on the topic. And Will said, Steve, check this out. I think this will do it. New Jersey police chief accused of driving under the influence, leaving scene of an accident, and somehow in the story, his pants came off. Now, there's something, I admit, comical about a story where someone loses their pants. I believe Homer Simpson once answered the front door wearing no pants and said, I have misplaced my pants. But Trish Hartman for 6abc.com wrote this version of the story, and I've got more details from the New York Post because they like the funnier details. Bordentown Township's police chief, I'm guessing this is New Jersey, is accused of driving under the influence and leaving the scene of an accident after causing damage in Mercer County the other night. The chief is facing violations of driving under the influence, careless driving, failure to report an accident, and leaving the scene of an accident involving property damage. So if you cause damage with your vehicle in an accident, you're supposed to stay there and report it. Neighbors in the University Heights section of Hamilton Township were curious as to what was going on Friday night. One neighbor said, I hope nobody was injured and I hope everybody is okay. She drove past a large police presence as she was headed to the grocery store. Hampton police say they were called there around 8:20 in the evening. There's an ambulance with a back door open, a bunch of police cars that looked big because there were so many vehicles. Police had not released many details about what happened at first, but the details snuck out. Online court records show that the chief was driving a pickup truck Friday night, but didn't say what kind of property damage was done. A neighbor who didn't want to be identified said his mailbox was knocked down, and that might have been the property damage. He said he wasn't at home, but a police officer knocked on his door about an hour after the incident. He said he's still pretty angry, kind of shaken up too. Luckily, we weren't here, but I've got kids and my wife takes walks every night. I could have been putting the garbage out. It's just too close to home. A block away, neighbors told him a stop sign was also knocked down and a temporary fix was made over the weekend. You probably have issues if you're knocking down stop signs with your truck. Bordentown Township released the following statement on Tuesday. The Township Committee is aware of the traffic charges that have been issued to the Chief of Police as a result of a traffic incident on Friday night. At this time, the Chief has been placed on restricted duty until further notice pending the investigation results. So, the first article here says we don't yet know who called 911 or how the officers knew it was the Chief behind the wheel. Action News reached out to him on Tuesday but did not hear back. His attorney told Action News that he advised his client not to comment, but added that he has, in fact, pleaded not guilty. Now, the New York Post will get you the good details. The New Jersey police chief charged with drunk driving last month could be seen lying in the street next to his pickup truck with his pants down, and responding officers mocked him until they realized who he was. But there is actually a part of the story that is troubling, which I'll get to in a second. The police chief was found on the ground in nearby Hamilton after a 911 caller reported following a drunk driver weaving all over the place. The caller warned he's going to kill somebody. She called back to say a truck had stopped and the driver was on the ground in the middle of the road. He's so obliviated. Obliviated, the report said. The chief is a 23-year police veteran, and he is seen in body cam footage sprawled out on the ground behind the truck. One of the responding officers says with a chuckle, keys in the middle of the road, cell phone in the middle of the road. Now, the police chief, when asked how old he was, said he was 35. Turns out he's actually 46. So his math was off. And then he mumbled, what's the problem? One of the officers says, you're sleeping in the middle of the road and your pants are down. Now, again, if you find yourself in public and a police officer has to inform you that your pants are down, you may have made mistakes in your life. That's a pro tip. Pro tip, write that one down. I'll wait. After the snippy exchanges, one of the officers searches the vehicle and finds the man's police badge and remarks, "Oh." Both officers then turn off their cameras. And that's my problem with this story. This interaction between the police officers and the driver was being recorded on body cameras as part of the jobs of these two officers responding to the scene. And when they recognize that this man is a police officer, they shut their cameras off. I don't understand why they would do that. I mean, I do, but they shouldn't do that, obviously, is what I'm saying. Both officers then turn off their cameras, with their tone markedly different when the cameras are switched back on. And from that point forward, they start referring to the man as Chief. They start referring to him by his title. The man was charged with 5 traffic offenses, including drunk driving, reckless driving, careless driving, failing to report an accident, and leaving the scene of a property damage accident. So, someone called him in. And by the way, that is something that does happen nowadays. And I've represented people before. I've told you this before. I've represented people who were arrested for alcohol-related offenses in automobiles. And at least one that I can think of, but maybe two, were called in, where somebody saw someone driving erratically and said, "I'll bet that person's been drinking," and calls the police, and it results in the police getting involved in a traffic stop. And by the way, some people are going to ask and say, "Steve, can they pull somebody over simply because they got an anonymous phone call?" Generally speaking, no. But what will happen is, if a person is on the freeway driving along erratically, someone calls the police, and there's a police officer who can get there, they can then observe the person driving erratically and pull them over. And in the cases I've dealt with, that's what I saw. So here someone calls in and says, "Hey, this guy's driving erratically in the subdivision. He's going to kill somebody." And that's code for he's all over the place. So the police get called and they show up and they find the truck. They find some obvious property damage. And it's not too hard to link those things together if they're linked, because you can often find damage on the vehicle that matches what got hit. But you find the apparent driver of the vehicle laying on the ground with his keys on the ground and his phone on the ground, and his pants are down. It's a comical situation on some levels, but it's a troubling situation on another. You might say, "Steve, at least he stopped." That's true. He stopped on his own, apparently. They didn't have to run him off the road or anything. But the fact that they're treating him like they treat everyone else until they realize he's a fellow police officer, then they shut their cameras off. And I assure you, carve this in stone, take this to the bank. If it was possible to get a God view, an actual omniscient view of everything that happened that evening, from when the police showed up to when the crowd dissipated, the most interesting part of that entire transaction was what happened when those cameras are turned off. You know it, and I know it. That's what we would all like to see. But we don't get to see it because they turn the cameras off. And that's a problem. And so we've talked about this. And you know, people sometimes film the police. The police often film people. They're wearing body cameras. A lot of places you go into have security cameras, right? A lot of your life is being recorded. And if you know that, that's fine. You operate that way. And so I like the idea that police cars have got dash cams, that the police officers have body cams. I like these things because it is so hard to argue with a video. And I've seen stories that go both ways, where the police say this happened and someone else said, "No, this happened." And the body cam footage proves that actually happened, or it proved that actually happened. I've seen both. I've seen where somebody had this elaborate story about what happened when the police pulled them over. And the police released the footage and go, "No, here's what happened." It goes both ways. I would love to know how long those cameras shut off for and what they would have recorded if they hadn't been shut off. That's a real problem. But it's also a problem that the police chief is drinking and driving, if in fact that's what he's doing. These are allegations, of course. To such an extent that stop signs get hit, mailboxes get hit, and then he winds up on the ground behind his truck with his pants down, and apparently had to be told that by police officers. Of course, these are all allegations, and I wasn't there, so I'll be the first to tell you that. But that's the story, and unless this one can get topped, it'll be a while before I talk about cops drinking and driving. But this story is from Trish Hartman at 6abc.com and also the New York Post. New Jersey police chief accused of driving under the influence, leaving scene of an accident. Somewhere his pants came off, or maybe down. I heard both off and down, so we don't know if the pants came off or the pants were simply down. But Will sent it. Thanks a lot. Questions, comments, put them below. This will talk to you later. Bye-bye. And I do want to give a quick note to my audience on the podcast, the audio only. I mentioned about a month and a half ago, I set up a Patreon account for that. And I did that specifically because I've had people ask me if they can advertise on my audio-only podcast. I tried advertising on it literally a couple years ago. Didn't like it, stopped it, went back the way it is. But there are costs associated with the podcast. And so I don't want to ever have to monetize it or put ads on it. And so I said, instead of that, I'm going to put a Patreon account and just say, hey, if you want to kick in a couple bucks, you can do that. If you don't want to, that's fine. But there are days I get 10,000 downloads on the podcast. So it's a pretty successful podcast, and I'm very happy about that. But like I said, I'm just trying to be able to keep doing it and have it make sense. And so I think most people understand that. And again, if you don't want to contribute, you don't have to. I'm not saying everyone has to. But I've had a bunch of people who've jumped in and said, yeah, I'll take care of that. And yeah, that's great, and I appreciate that. So I'm just going to mention this one last time. The link to the Patreon account is underneath the description of the podcast on any place you see the podcast. I think you just go to Patreon. You can look at Steve Leto and find me that way as well. But I greatly appreciate the people who have pitched in. And I'm just telling you this, that I'd like to keep this podcast going as a concern, audio only, and never have to put ads on it. That's my goal. So that's what I'm going to keep doing. Hope you enjoy it. Otherwise, I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Does anybody really know what time it is?